Ephesians chapter number 6. Approximately 18 years ago, we had Sam. Leading up to having Sam, we took the classes. Remember the classes, Sarah? There we were. We're sitting in a room with other couples, and nurses are explaining to us what to expect. No turning back at that point. They showed us videos, and we were excited. We had we were living here in Brockport, had a one-bedroom apartment, had all the stuff, first kid, and we had the onesies that, you know, and the all the stuff. We were ready. Well, we thought we were ready, and and then so all this preparation, and the nurse comes out, and there they are, and they we have the baby seat in the car, right? So the nurse comes out and checks to make sure that the baby seat is secure before us leaving the hospital. And that was it. That I felt like there should have been more checks and balances. And there they left us with a little human and said, all right, give us a call if you need anything. And but good luck. And there we went as parents, and little Sam, 2 days old, in the back seat. No idea what to do. Is he hungry? What does he need? And replicated that multiple times, 5 children. The responsibility of a parent, I will say, is sometimes overwhelming. I don't know if we place it on ourselves, but I feel like it is right in the heavy weight of responsibility. Sometimes we have, yesterday my Hudson had a baseball game, and it was intense. These are 11 and 12-year-olds playing for world championship. It wasn't. It was just 11 and 12-year-olds playing other 11 and 12-year-olds, but it was, intense. And I feel like that is some, in the grand scheme of things, although at the moment it felt intense, now here we are, and it's like, it was a game. Parenting isn't a game. It is a real responsibility. That weight and that pressure and that, whew. You walk by the bedroom and you see that little one sleeping in there and you think, wow, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. Parenting's a big deal. Thing with parenting is there's no days off. Because they're always kids. You can't take a day off as parents. It would be like the zookeeper taking a day off. You know what? We're just going to let you guys do what you do. There'd be no penguins the next day. No penguins. Parenting. There's a right way and a wrong way to do it. How many of you have ever done it the wrong way? Absolutely. How many of you experienced the wrong way? Man. Just like children, parents are humans. Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 6, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That would be what we would deem the wrong way. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the opportunity to be a parent. God, thank you for the great responsibility. Thank you that we know that you'll never leave us, that you'll never forsake us, and that you'll come right alongside. And God, thank you for the instruction manual that you've given to us. Lord, again, thank you for the chance to inflict the principles and the habits of your scriptures upon young people. Lord, help us to be faithful with that. Help us to live an example of that. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. In our scriptures here, it tells us of two words. It says to nurture and admonish. The nurture and admonition of the Lord. To nurture is to, it's all about growth. Maybe at your house or somewhere in maybe at your grandparents' house, something of that degree, there is a physical growth is great because we can almost watch it. There's a point in their life when you can actually literally watch them grow. Feels like, man, you're growing like overnight. Maybe you have marks on a door jamb or on a piece of paper or something, and every 3 months or every 6 months or whenever the kid's having a bad day and you want to help them, you use it as a teaching tool. All right, let's see how big you got. Oh, yeah. And you come over and you make a line and make a big deal of how big they are. Physical growth is something easily seen. Marks on a door jamb. Again, maybe their shoes or clothes size, right? They go in, they come out, and go get your good pants on. And they come out, and they're like this, right? It's like, what happened? Dad, my shoes don't fit. Well, do your best. And they're walking around like this because their toe. We'll try and get to the. They fit yesterday. What on earth? My legs hurt. We're growing pains, right? There's something true about growing pains, not just physically, but there's some truth to that. When you cross from one stage of life to the next, sometimes there's some pains along the way. Physical growth to nurture. By now, we have some plants in the ground. Is that right, Mrs. Rice? Our things are starting to come up. Brother Rice, it is out of control at your house. Beautiful. It's like a garden. Rice's garden. People are going to start paying to come see stuff. Hundreds of plants. What do? We nurture them. We don't go and we don't go step on the plants. We don't crush the plants. We don't uproot the plants. Nor should we in a child's life step on them, crush them, uproot them. There's something about physical stability that is helpful to a young person. Children are awfully resilient. You know, we have those little ones, and they're just so little and precious, but they can. Children can withstand a bunch of stuff. They go through some difficult things in life, and sometimes they come out the better for it. Sometimes they're somewhat marred by it, but nonetheless, most of the times they come through. I want to encourage you here today to try and create an atmosphere, a home, a place where there is the most opportunity for nurturing and growth in a young person. Today's our child dedication day. We have two families. We had three, but 1 sec. We have two families that are dedicating their children to the Lord. What does that mean? Does that mean they get a free pass into heaven? Nothing of the sort. It's just the parents that say, as best as I can, I want to raise them for the honor and glory of God. But can we review that? This past weekend, we got a chance to go to a wedding of two young people. And there you are, and you're sitting at the wedding, and you just remember the day. Hey, remember that day when you dedicated your child? Maybe remember that feeling of bringing that one home and wanting to do everything you can to help them grow in the Lord? Maybe that gets, maybe some air blows across those coals this morning in your heart. Physical growth is an excellent illustration for spiritual growth. God places adults in children's lives for this purpose, to oversee them and help them. Once again, when we brought our child home, Sam would not have survived without help, right? He needed physical help. He needed a lot. He could do nothing. He brought nothing to the table. I lost sleep. I lost my place in my own bed. Money gone. But here we are. We have a young man that has been nurtured and has grown. What have we provided? Well, you provide food, physical food. That's important. We were with little Charity Christine Petrozello this weekend. We were at the wedding, and so were they, and we're excited. We're reunited with Haley and Anthony, and there's little Charity. And she does not want Italian pizza. I was not allowed to give her any pizza. Mom said no. Why not? She's not ready for that. Not ready for that. There's a good way of helping your young person and child eat right, eat healthy. Would not be beneficial for a young child to just every day just eat sugary cereals and fried this and fried that. Hey, what do they need? They need nutrients. They need hearty things, healthy things, fruits and vegetables. That's about. Say we didn't do that. That's okay. But you're making another hurdle for that young person to overcome. Understand that these are ideal things. A young child, what do they need? They need an ideal amount of rest. Man, I remember rest. Remember rest? That used to be nice, brother. You remember that? Physically, good food, good rest, a place of shelter, good drink. There comes a time when, right around that 1 year mark, just before one, they start crawling around, and you're so excited, first kid, here they come, and what are they doing? They're moving, and it's like, oh, this is great, and then you realize, man, it was a lot easier when they couldn't move. A lot easier when they were satisfied with a machine that just goes. That's all they needed. Man, where were we? That's all we had. We had this little crank on the side of a thing, and you wound it up, and it would just go back and forth, and it would lull you to sleep, right? You would be sitting there, and you're just here. We were at someone's house, and it had like a weird oscillating up and down. I was like, what on earth kind of space contraption? That would have been great to have. But eventually, there they are, first steps. Oh man, you're excited watching that one, and you put the little, all of a sudden everything becomes now a great danger, right? We're walking around, we got to be careful of sharp edges and tables, and got to be careful. Where's Nate? Nate's got a bump on his head. You all right? All right, good. Eli coming in sometimes, Have you ever bumped your head before, Eli? Yeah, all right. And they start walking around and going mobile, and we got to be careful of those things, and we guard those things. And then all of a sudden, exercise, and we start, the kids start running, right? Crawling to running. There was no walking. It was just immediate movement, just everywhere, shoom, shoom, back and forth. And it's like, man, slow down. And they're just picking things up and moving things. And I know JP loves his projects. Okay, we're going to take these blocks and we're moving from here to there. Oh, great. And he could do that all day long, right? Love it. Exercise. They say for the mental development of a young person, three key components: play, comfort, and reading. Mental development for a young child. So there we were. We're sitting there, and Sam is unable to speak, but yet we're reading in books. Dispensational truth, and it has pictures. Ernest Larkin, excellent children. No, there we are, and Good Night Moon, right? We're reading those stories, and then all of a sudden he starts saying words and starts pointing out things and learning. As we read, all of a sudden, we send him to, getting him ready for school, and he starts reading back to us. Man, that's great. Going outside, you throw him the football, boom, he falls over, gets back up, and he wants to do that, and playing, and comfort, and holding. How many of you have, through multiple children, one child that loved the cuddles and one that did not like? You know what I'm talking about, right? It's like, I just want to hold you. You're my last child. No, I don't want that, But comfort. We learn the importance of swaddling. Man, insta-sleep, right? It could be fussing, and man, you wrap them up nice tight in that little blanket, and all of a sudden, you know? But then they get to the age where they get that hand out, and oh, man, tough. Physical development, good food, good rest, good water, good exercise, good mental development. Again, reading with your child, comforting your child, playing with your child. You know what that requires? Interaction. That's what's good for them. Social. We're careful, right? Who they play with, who they go see. The Bible reminds us in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And we recognize we've been down this road before. You know, again, I was talking to this young couple that got married, and man, they're so excited. They just graduated Bible school, Bible college, and they're getting ready to start in the ministry. And I told them, I said, hey, listen, I've been where you're at, and I'm actually down the road a little bit. If you need any help along the way, I'd love to just come alongside, encourage you. And there you are with a young person, a child, and they think they got the world figured out at six, and what's good and what's not, and you try and shelter them from disasters and problems, and trying to protect them from things, but you know well enough at 10 or 11, all of a sudden they start hanging around with somebody, and you go, no, that's not going to be a good fit. They don't get it. Well, you say, no, you're not going to go over to that one's house. If they want to come over, we are careful because we know that good social interaction is important. We don't want our kids just trapped in a bubble, unable to see anybody. Well, it's just not safe. The world is just a wicked place. I get the world's a wicked place, but you're going to have to, at some point, teach your children how to interact in this world. The Bible tells us, in teaching them about social matters, in Proverbs chapter 17, in verse 17, a friend loveth at all times. How to be a good friend. We like to play games at our house, and one of the important aspects of playing board games is, number one, not only how to win, be a gracious winner, but also be a gracious loser. Because I crush the kids at games. Like, I play hard. Actually, Mrs. Russo's, it's not even fair. She cheats, doesn't she, Sam? Yes, all right. It's not even fair. But what do we got to teach them with their friends? To love at all times. Hey, sometimes people say mean things. And how to handle that? You know what that is? That's part of growing. That's the nurturing. That's full-time job. All the time. So, yeah, I didn't realize. Well, you signed up for it. There's a lot of goofy, backwards thoughts right now about life and choice, if you understand what I'm talking about. And some people are, I'm reading some people's posts, some people are 100% in favor, and so they should be, of life, right? And then there's others that believe that they can terminate life. And their response is something to the effect of, well, if you're forcing me to go through and have this child, you chose. No, this was no accident. Having children is not by accident. Well, I didn't realize, we're here now, as Brother King would say. You have a responsibility, a great responsibility. And part of that responsibility is to do it right, and part of that is nurturing, helping to grow. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. And we try our best socially to protect our children from things that would hurt them. We try and protect them from things that they would see and listen to. I've heard some awful sad stories about young people that were subjected to visually seeing some things, and sometimes when you get an image in your head, it's really hard to get it out, because you could close your eyes right now and still see it. And that formulated a thought or an idea and led them to. And we as parents do our best to try and protect our children from that. At our house, we've done something I don't regret one moment. We don't get our kids' cell phones. They get them when they need them. That just worked for us. I was in way too many meetings as a young adults pastor or a school educator sitting across a parent that's saying, 1,000 times, I wish we hadn't. So I just learned from someone else. And we did that, and we're happy with that decision. We're careful what we allowed with video games and things. Why? Because we do understand that those help formulate a mental capacity. And there's a danger there. Our kids will tell you that they've been tortured and missed out on things, but we as parents know. Yeah, they did miss out on some things, and we're very good with that. Someone's got to stand in between the world and our children and say no. Say, that's a lot of responsibility. That's all the time. Sometimes I just get tired of fighting. I understand. I get it. But it's worth the fight. Physically nurturing them, but how about this? Spiritually nurturing them. 2 Peter chapter number 3. I love the babies. I love them. I love their cuteness. You could take them back at 2. I'll pick them up again at 5. I love the kids. I love them running around. I love holding them. Some of your kids have very high kissability rate, and I do apologize, but man. Physically nurturing, but spiritually nurturing. The Bible says that 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. As parents, it is our responsibility to introduce our children to the Lord Jesus Christ and help them grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The greatest thing that we should teach our children is how to be saved. We should regularly sit down and talk about salvation. Not that we force the decision, but they ought to be aware. If they grow up in our home and have no idea who Jesus is, shame on us. Well, that's the church's job. It is not. It is yours. To nurture. The greatest tool that you can equip your children with is a trust fund for their college education? No. A car when they turn 16? No. A home when they need, I'm going to save money every week, and then when they get married, I'm going to give them a boatload they had no idea, and it's just going to blow them away. The greatest thing that you could offer your child is a real relationship with God. Because you can only teach so much. But having the indwelling Holy Spirit of God and being able to listen and hear God and His still small voice and yield to that and act on that, that's the greatest thing that you could teach them. There's nothing more valuable. A real relationship with Christ. Psalm 119, go there. The Bible says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Teaching our young people the importance and the significance of this. When they come with questions, we say, all right, what does the Bible say? What does God say? Because I want you to understand, just like with their food habits, just like their rest habits, just like their exercise habits, just like their social and mental habits, their spiritual habits that take guidance to begin with, but then will turn into habits. That start with guidance. Again, my children didn't know how to eat good. So, there they are, eating oatmeal for the first number of years of their life. Trying to get healthy things. Now, they know how to eat well. It's up to them if they do. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light. Hey, okay, when asked with a question, what do? We bring out the Bible and say, what does God say? This is the guidance. And eventually, you know what they're going to learn? This book has never done me wrong. And whenever I have a question in my life, I know where to go. Yes, you can go to mom for help. Yes, you can go to dad for guidance. Yes, you can go for support and things. But one day you're going to be out on your own. And one day you're going to then open the scriptures and say, what saith the Lord to me? Samuel, can I use you just for a second? All right, why don't you come on up here? We're going to travel back in time just for a minute. So why don't you come on up here? That little lamp. Appreciate Mr. Lauk hooking me up with a flashlight this morning. All right, right here. You can come right here. So when Samuel was little, I held him. I cannot anymore. Not without hurting something on me and him. And I remember night football, I would sit there and I would hold and I would sit like this, and he would fit right in my lap, and I would bounce him like this. Could you imagine you right here? No. And I would do this, and I would use him so I could watch sports. And we would sit like this, and he would be sleeping, and Sarah's like, hey, watch the baby, you know? So I'd sit there like this. And he got bigger, and he grew, and he walked, and he's doing all that stuff. And through his life, as a parent, spiritually, he didn't know how to use the scriptures. The Bible says, though, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So I came alongside with him, and I brought him close, and I had my light. My light of the scriptures, my knowledge of the scriptures, my understanding of the scriptures. And I would show him and how to walk, and we would go this way with my light. But one day, it became his light. And now, he has to walk himself. You're doing good. You're so good. Just like we worked on at home, right? Do you understand? That is nurturing. That is the spiritual nurturing. That is you coming along a child and teaching him guidance, teaching him the ways of the Lord, until it becomes his habit. And then you take the lamp, and it becomes in his hand. Or her hand. As parents, that is our responsibility. That is our job. It would be strange if at 25, I'm still like, no, son, come on, look at. Now there's guidance, there's help, but eventually it's going to be his steps, no longer mine. Thank you, buddy. Excellent. They warn you in preaching school, not to use your children as an example. I don't know. If that messes them up, I'm sorry. So what are we to do? Have real relationship with Christ. But our guidance, hopefully, Lord willing, through the scriptures, becomes their habits. Do you understand? That's not the only word in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. Not only are we to nurture, but it says this, the admonition of the Lord. What does the word admonition mean? Well, I looked it up because I'm about to put a lot of stock in that. Say, what does that mean? I'm about to invest heavily in not only developing and helping grow, but also, and admonition. What does admonition need? Or what does that mean? It means to warn or notify of a fault, to reprove. Listen, this is so important. This is where so many parents get in trouble. To reprove with mildness. That's what admonition means. How many of you have ever experienced the full wrath of God on your life? Nobody. How many of you experienced the correction of God with mildness? Oh, yeah. There needs to be balance. And that's why the Lord put that word in there. Not only to nurture, not only to help grow, but also to warn. Notify of a fault. Who likes to be told that they're wrong? Me either. Nor do children. But it's for their best. We're warning them. We're notifying them. Hey, you have a fault in your life. I see it. And I'm going to reprove it with mildness. There's some things that that we need to warn our children about. 1 John chapter number 2. I grew up in Irondequoit, and my dad lived in the city, which was literally on the other side of the, kind of the other side of the street. I lived right on the edge of Irondequoit in the city of Rochester. And my parents were divorced, so the one day I had the idea of riding my bike to my dad's house. It wasn't far, it would maybe be maybe a mile, more or less, more. Maybe a couple miles. All right, very good. There I was, and I was riding my bike to my dad's house. I was driving. He lived south of Norton Street on off of Goodman and knew exactly how to get there. As a child, my mom trained me about certain things. She scared the fire out of us, and taking candy from strangers. I grew up in the 80s. That was a big thing. Don't take candy from strangers, right? If you ever need help, call out for help. She taught us that, ingrained those things into us. We spent, because I was raised by a single parent, we would spend time alone at the house. We had neighbors around that was watching over us, but no oversight there. But again, we were kind of, we were allowed some freedom, and my mom taught us how to do that. So the one day I'm riding my bike from my house in Irondequoit to my dad's house in the city, again, approximately maybe a mile and a half, 2 miles, and I was there, and there was a kid standing in the middle of the road. So I start to go around, and he's like, hey, hold on. And so I stopped, and he was bigger than I was, like older, and he takes the main wheel, and he puts it in between his legs, and he's like, what are you doing with my bike? I said, this is my bike. It was you. No. It was a little bigger. Okay, nothing. I said, well, he said, what are you doing with my bike? He said, get off my bike. I said, this is my bike. And he's like, give me the bike. And I didn't want to give up my bike. So, in my mind, I went back to training. I said, what'd you do? You fought him. No, I didn't fight. I wasn't a fighter. Look at me. Scream for help. Help! He's trying to steal my bike! Scared the fire out of him. He looks around. He's like, no, man, I'm just kidding. Help! He's trying to... I didn't back away. He ran away. Got on my bike. Mom wasn't there, Dad wasn't there, but I was warned about some things. So then when presented with the thing I was warned against, I knew how to respond. God warns us about some things in the Scriptures. It's not wrong to identify a fault and say, hey, be careful. I warn you, this could be some trouble in your life. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, my little children, these things write I unto you. Again, my little children, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Hey, it's a good thing to teach our children there's a consequence to sin and how to handle that. Anybody perfect here? No. Any sinners here? I want to see those hands. Any sinners here? It's good for us to admit every now and then we're not as golden as we think. Yeah, we're sinners. And you know what? It would be good to teach our children, when you sin, we don't just sweep it. We don't just cover it. We just don't pretend that it's gone. We have an advocate with the Father. We need to go to Him and ask Him to forgive us. We need to make right with other people. What is that? That's an admonition. We're identifying or we're warning of a fault and how to fix it. Many a young people grow up in our homes never experiencing how to handle, I'll just take care of this for my little Johnny. He's perfect. He's wonderful. He does no wrong. You're setting them up for disaster. Acknowledge your sin with the Lord, make right, and let's move on. Isn't it good to have an advocate with the Father? Isn't it good to be able to get free from that guilt? Hey, a lot of people do some really wicked things in trying to pacify and feel better about themselves because they have sin in their life. Why? Because someone didn't teach them they can just make right with God and the guilt of sin is released. You don't have to carry that forever. A warning. A warning to be reproved mildly. There is sin, but there's also a Savior. As I said, the most important thing that we can teach our children is to be saved. Say, at what age? The Bible says that the younger the better. Say, yeah, but if they're six and they make a profession of faith and then they come back to me at 12, what should I do? Give them assurance. Give them assurance. Help them. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. What is this? It's a warning. It's a warning. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Hey, we should teach our young people that there's a right way and a wrong way to behave. No, it's whatever you feel like. It's whatever you want to do. It's whatever is convenient for me. No, doing right is inconvenient. It takes more time. It takes a lot more effort to exemplify, to teach. How many times have we been getting in the car ready to go? Maybe even right on time, maybe a couple minutes late, and all of a sudden there's a moral failure or a breakdown of humanity and righteousness. And now, what do? Everybody out of the van, we got to deal with this. So you're going to be late. I'd rather be late. I'd rather be inconvenienced and have my child know the difference between righteousness and unrighteousness. It's a warning. There's a right way and a wrong way to handle things. So how do you know? Ask God. God has all the answers. Isn't that a blessing? 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4 and verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There's victory. There's victory. Young people feel defeated. Young people feel lost and wandering, don't know how to handle things. They have failed to be taught that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Why do young people lose hope? Why do they do awful things and hurt themselves? Or because they hadn't been taught. They haven't been warned. That there's a victory in Christ. Lastly, 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. What time is it? Okay, we're good. 1 John 5, 21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Susie, you're not the most important person in this entire world. Yes, you're wonderful. Yes, you're great. Can I tell you, I told Anthony... I said, she's wonderful. He's like, oh man, our whole world. And man, what a thing. I said, can I remind you of something? I said, the most important relationship in this world, outside of Christ, is you and your wife. I said, I'm sure you know this, but don't stop investing in that. Little children will take all that you have. Little children, keep yourself from idols. There's a way of the world that's contrary to the Word of God. There's something that is going to try and come in there and say, hey, you can take this book, you can toss it off to the side, you don't need it. But that's an idol. Anything that comes in between you and the Lord doesn't belong. Even you. So what do our young people need? They need nurturing. They need to be warned. Has not the Lord done this perfectly in our life, giving us the ability to grow? Has He not warned us? I like to read books. Currently reading a book called The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment. So how is it? Just like how it sounds. Hard to swallow. So would you recommend it? I'll let you know when I get to the end. But there's one book I feel 100% confident in recommending. I gave Grandpa Haight a book a little while ago, and I'm like, hey, take a look at this. He kind of is my like proofreader. Do I spend the time to read the book? And I gave him a book, and he read it, and he's like, mm-mm. And he gave it back to me. He's like, doctrinally, he goes goofy in the end. I said, oh, thank you for helping me. Saved me a bunch of time. He's off on his doctrine, but I mean, it was worthwhile. No, there's one book I can administer, I can pass along, I can stand on. I don't have to make a, hey, listen, chapter 12 gets a little strange. No, the Word of God so perfectly leads us and guides us. Can I show you this? Hebrews chapter 8. We're almost done. I have two verses. I think two verses. Yeah, two verses. Hebrews chapter number 8. Look at this. Hebrews 8:5. Who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God. What does that mean? Warned and rebuked mildly. When he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Hey, young person, I want to warn you. Hey, I know you're stepping out in your life. I know that you got the light in hand. I know that you're going forward. But can I just warn you? Can I just remind you of something really important? God sent forth a pattern. Don't neglect the pattern. He established it. He showed us how to walk in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. He told us that we should walk and follow in His steps. Parent, encourage, warn. Hey, listen, little Olivia, she's wonderful. She's running around. She's beautiful, as precious as anything. The other night we were here and she comes over. It's just me and Brother Martin standing here. She comes up to here and just starts singing. Just beautiful. Not for anybody, just for the Lord. Not a song I knew. It was lovely and wonderful. And she's just a beautiful thing. And man, we're so thankful. But can I encourage you that there is a pattern that we need to teach them? We need to encourage them. We need to help them. We need to demonstrate to them. Say, that's hard. That takes a long time. Yeah. And you signed up for it. Say, I got no kid. My kids are gone. They're out of the house. Look at, see the smile? Look at all this money I got. This is great. Hey, there's some young people here that need an example. There's some young people that have maybe somewhat of a less than ideal start. They could use some stability. They could use some help. Could use some guidance. They could use some warning. That little Olivia, I'm not going to sit her down and say, listen, I'm going to explain to you mass murder. No. Why not? That's not the warnings we're talking about. Hey, understand, use some discretion, use some wisdom on what to talk. Hey, don't just open up the floodgates and overwhelm your little person. Please understand that there's some restraint here. Same way, the same food that you fed them at 6 months old isn't the same food you feed them at 16. I hope not. Maybe they like the Vienna sausages. I don't know. But try and get the light out of your hand and into theirs. Encourage them. Warn them. Warn them. We were driving back, I think it was yesterday, and there was a big sign on the side of the road that said, warning, shoulder closed. Sure enough, there was not only cones to the side, but there was no shoulder. I could heed the warning, or I could do what I wanted. That's the liberty we have in Christ. But I can tell you, I'm better because I stayed off. I heeded the warning. Hey, young person sitting here, mom and dad, they don't know. They know more than you know. The Word of God is better than you can expect. The blessings of God are always true. I encourage you to establish a pattern. And may our patterns become our habits. Today we have a special day. We have a couple families that say, as best as I can, I want to do that. Say, well, whew, that seems like lofty goals, Pastor. Now that you're saying it like that, I don't know, I can't. I understand that, but along with people's help, the help of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, I promise you there's no better way to raise your child than according to the Scriptures. But we need wisdom. We need strength. We need compassion. We need mercy. We need grace. Maybe as a parent you remember back to those days, hey, that formula is still true today. That's what your young person needs. So, number one, I'm just going to ask you today. I know it may seem off track, but the most important thing is that you personally have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there a time, is there a place you can go back to and say, I remember I asked the Lord to forgive me of my sin. I put my complete faith and trust in Him and Him alone, nothing else. Not a baptism, not church membership, not this list of rules, just faith and trust in the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. If you've never done that before, after service, please come talk to me. I would love to show you from the Scriptures how you can, the Bible says that you can know that you have eternal life. I don't know what the weather is going to do. Yesterday, it was strange. It was like 85 degrees, and then all of a sudden, like hailstorms, and then all of a sudden, it's 60 degrees. I have no idea what's going on with that. I thought one team was going to win in a game, and it didn't. And, you know, there's some things I just don't know, but I know this, heaven's my home. Based on the promises of God. If you don't know that for sure, allow me from the Scriptures to show you what it means to be saved. Saved from what? The consequence of your own sin. The choices you've made. You need Christ. Number two. Because of that, we have Emmanuel. And although we're going to have a couple families come up here with children that we love in just a few moments, we love all your children, love all of you. But maybe in your own personality, in your own heart, you were reminded of some things. Maybe that responsibility of parenting was reminded to you today and say, I need some help and I'm excited about trying to nurture a young person. And if that's in your heart, praise the Lord. Do that. Be that to somebody else. I'm going to invite the Runyons up. Runyons, you want to go get your kids? Can you do that? Warner's, we got a bunch here. We're missing one. Where's Savannah Ray? All right, sounds good. Oh, in the nursery? All right. So we'll just, you can go grab her. What we're going to do, and Megan, if you can get Megan. We have these, I know this is a little different today. Again, first and foremost, the most important thing is that you're saved. And that's what we're trying to, man, if you didn't know that, man, what great news, huh? Imagine going your whole life not knowing that you could know for sure that heaven would be your home. And then just finding out, wow, I could have my sins forgiven. That's great news. That's wonderful news. But number two, ever feel without with parenting? Whew, man, I don't know what I'm doing. And isn't it good to know that God has a plan? Praise the Lord for that. So, when they come back, we'll have a couple of these things. We have a little form here and that kind of thing. Ron, can you just grab a picture? All right, sounds good. Not for me, but for that. All right, good. So, we'll just wait for the people to come in. Are we doing good? We're okay? It's like 12:25. So, are you good? All right, good. This is important. Tonight we have baptism. Also important, tonight's message is called, I Am Not Ashamed. I'm not ashamed. And we have three young people scheduled for tonight. 12-year-old and right around, how old are you, Nate? Nate, yeah. How old are you? 8 and Ryan? 10. 12, 10, and 8 that want the whole world to know that they're not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? Man, what a wonderful thing. I want to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. So come tonight, be an encouragement to them, and also maybe be touched in our heart. Am I ashamed? You know, here they are doing that, and so praise the Lord. All right, who do we got? All right, we got the Warners. We'll do Warners first. Good morning, Mrs. Warner. How are you? Did I wake you up? I'm sorry. What are you? Holding down the nursery. So appreciate our nursery workers. Without nursery workers, what happens? Well, this becomes the nursery and it gets crazy. All right, so I just want to read one of these and then we'll bring the whole family up. Again, we give them a certificate and we give them the greatest textbook I could give them. Say, Dr. Gray's book on child rearing? No. No. Dr. Spock's book on? No. No. The Word of God. The Word of God. All right. So what this says is that let it be known that, and we'll just use Ryan's first, all right? Let it be known that Ryan Scott Warner was dedicated to the Lord by prayerful and parental vow before many witnesses this Lord's Day, being the 22nd day of May in the year of our Lord, 2022. The church rejoices in the solemn promise that the parents of this child, in accordance with the biblical precept and in the spirit of the 127th Psalm, will teach their heritage by loving example and continuous instruction from God's holy word. It is our prayer that this child, as God's reward and as an arrow in the hand of a mighty man, would straightly follow our Lord Jesus Christ, joyfully bearing the appointed cross and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love. Man, if that isn't what we want for our kids, what do we want to be here? Is this for the kids? No, this is more for the parents. We want to come alongside them and help them and encourage them. All right, Warners, why don't you come on up? So thankful for the Warners. Wonderful. All right, Ryan. Do you give them to the parents or the kids? Parents, right? Okay. All right, here you go. Here's Ryan's. There you go. And Nathaniel Mason. I love it. Nathaniel Mason Warner. There's his. Elijah David. Okay, yeah, give that right to Mom. Give that right to Mom. And Savannah Ray. There she is. All right, there we are. We have a Bible for each of them. One of these Bibles is doing their own thing, if you can see. Can you tell which one is Savannah's? Which one? Which one? The reddish one. Yes, it's kind of pink. The day is signed in there. So thankful for you. I just want to pray with you real quick, all right? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this dear family and their desire to serve you and raise their children in accordance to what your scripture says. Lord, as a pastor, I want to help them and encourage them. As a church, we want to help them and encourage them. Be a refuge for their children to grow up in a safe and a place that honors and glorifies you. Lord, help us with that. Lord, we need you, we love you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord for the Warners. Here you are. Here's a stack of Bibles. All right. Get some good reading. Love you guys. All right. All right. And we have the Runyons. Praise the Lord. Come on up, Runyons. It says the exact same thing. So for sake of reading that, we're not going to do that. But why don't you come on up. We got Caleb and Josiah, both with a new Bible. I know Caleb, I know you have a Bible, but here's a new one for you. All right. There you go. And can you hold Josiah's Bible too? All right, and here's the two certificates. You pray for this family too, that as they, raise their children. How many of you look back on your life and go, man, I wish I had the chance that, sure, right? Man, what a great opportunity. Not that kids are resilient, they can overcome things, but if we can make it as easy as possible, that's what we want to do. There you go, brother. Can I pray with you real quick? All right. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Runyons. God, thank you that you allowed our paths to cross, and thank you for bringing them to us. Lord, I pray that, again, you would help us to be an example and encouragement as they raise both Caleb and Josiah for your honor and glory. Lord, I pray you'd strengthen their marriage. Lord, again, help them to be one unit serving you. Lord, thank you for your word that leads us and guides us. Lord, we sure do love you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Love you guys. All right.